Welcome, everybody, to another live recording of the Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you are talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I'm the CEO at Agentivity, where we provide innovative data-driven solutions to modern travel sellers around the world. You can read more about us at agentivity.com.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Anne, and I'm a consultant with LeapShift. Happy to help you with anything related to retail, NDC, one order, and distribution. I also work as an instructor, both with IOTA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you only the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president of sales at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
Wow, it's so nice to see the room's been filled up. In the meantime, well, we've done our intros. So welcome, everybody. Some familiar faces there. Welcome back. Some new faces. Welcome to the show. The format of this is a discussion around a news event I do on a Friday, and then we discuss them in a bit more detail here. Our first story, we actually have a guest speaker. Paul van Alphen is going to join us. This story evolves around Revolut that launched with Aer Lingus, their first airline client. Paul van Alphen, a payment specialist expert really in our industry, is here to tell us a bit more about that. In fact, I think I saw this in a post by you, Paul. So do you want to tell us why this is so significant? And I actually have a question about this, but let me get the story from you first.
Thanks, Rian. Yeah, so hello. If you look at Revolut Pay, it was announced already last week. They announced that they're formally live and that they could share that. Over the last 20 years or so, we've seen the growth of alternative forms of payment, you know, competing with the traditional credit cards, let's say, especially in the online domain, but also in the B2B domain, by the way. One of the trends that we've seen over the last couple of years is also the rise of open banking payments. And it's been historically a bit of a struggle, especially in the travel space, especially in those countries where they compete with cards, with credit cards, debit cards, not so much in the more debit-based countries like where N's based in Sweden or where I'm based in the Netherlands, the DACH region, but especially like in the UK and France and Spain. But the UK is, of course, a massive market, Ireland. These open banking providers, open banking payment providers, I must say, have been struggling with like brand awareness, customer adoption, especially because high amounts, you know, the money is leaving your account right away. There's no protection. And especially there are no perks. There are no incentives for the customers to actually drop their card and then switch to, for instance, a payment directly from their bank account. And Revolut is obviously a neobank and has a different approach to it. They offer bank accounts that can be easily used for cross-border, cross-currency transfer at low cost to end consumers. Especially in Europe, largest country is the UK, number two is Romania, number three, Poland. So you can see there's a lot of movement there with migrant workers as well. So with enabling Revolut to actually, at the time of checkout, accept a card number, but then turn that directly into an account to account. So money moving from the Revolut account to the, in this case, the airline account. It takes it off the card scheme rails, gives the control to Revolut, which again is a very strong brand from a consumer perspective. And that's, I think, quite a change. You know, the kind of super app, neobank approach to it compared to the more legacy banks that try to use the APIs, but don't really can agree on a brand name, on a proposition, on customer incentives, on adoption. And that's a major game changer. And another other major neobanks out there like Monzo. So let's see what they will do if they will compete with the traditional card schemes here in this space.
Yeah, you kind of answered my question in what you've just said there, Paul, because I was going to say, surely as a Revolut customer, you have a debit or credit card with a number that you could have just used in the form of payment, but then it just becomes another card number you're using. And I guess with this level of integration, I saw the graphic there in your post, you could probably also do payment, half payment with rewards from Revolut and so on. So it's a lot more than just using a Revolut card number, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of on us, obviously, because they are both, you know, the acquirer and the issuer. So they issue the bank account, and they also acquire the transaction on behalf of the merchant, in this case, Aer Lingus. So they can keep it like in a closed loop, if you like, and that has gives them quite a lot of advantages, and they can play their own commercial game and work on their incentives, stuff like that. So yeah, it's an interesting development, especially because it's they're active in quite a number of countries. and especially the demographics of people traveling cross-border. You know, it's already heavily used for people to load their account and then take it, let's say, from the UK to Spain or to Italy or to France, and then pay in euros, but then are charged a very low conversion fee compared to the more traditional banks, what they charge. So people already used to use that bank account for travel, for cross-border travel. Now they can book with it as well.
Hey, Paul, this is Ash. Real quick, I'm based out here in the US and I have a quick question for you. It looks to me like this is very similar to a PayPal or something that we have in the US. Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, well, PayPal is not a bank as such. So they are a bank. And so you have a bank account with Revolut, and with connected to that bank account is a debit card or a credit card. You can do like ACH and like, you know, the wire transfers, seem to use American terminology. Mm-hmm. And you can use your cards with it. But so it's PayPal is basically connecting to third-party banks, to cards. They're also a part of the payment value chain, and they can accept a payment on behalf of a merchant and then charge the consumer.
Ash, you don't have Revolut in the States? Well, it's a bit strange.
I think it's number 7 market for them. It's still growing.
It's interesting because I've just never come across it before. Something new today.
I'm a very happy Revolut customer and also Monzo customer, actually. So
compared to, for instance, open banking, is that there's no protection in place there. If in case, for instance, the airline goes into bankruptcy and does not, you know, serve the flight, let's say, then, you know, as a consumer, you lost your money. In this case, they also offer similar to PayPal, by the way, consumer protection scheme, so that if something happens to delivery of the goods, let's say, that compensated by Revolut.
I would assume, and this is a good travel card, right? I mean, if I'm going somewhere, let's say I'm going to Europe for a week, and I don't want to pull out my regular cards everywhere I go, I throw some money in this Revolut card and I just walk around with it.
Exactly.
I think it's closer to 1% or 0.6%. Yes. So it makes quite a difference.
And what I like is, Ash, the tagline for Wise is, you know, bank like a local, because it's exactly what you do. You know, like local charges, etc. So yes,
very good. I like it.
Paul, thank you so much for sharing that update, and very interesting times indeed. Like you say, it would be interesting to see if the competitors are going to follow, and I'm sure Revolut's got a few more airlines, you know, coming up for this.
Just starting.
Very good to see, and thank you as always for your fantastic input. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Then we'll continue with the rest of our stories. My first story on my list last week evolved around something I wasn't even aware was happening. And did we notice that there was a German train drivers union strike of 3 days last week? Did we notice it or not?
No, thankfully I didn't. I wasn't traveling, unlike last time. So, no.
I can't figure out if the strike actually happened or if it did happen, if it had any impact. I read about this on the Business Travel News Europe page on LinkedIn, so I wasn't sure whether it actually happened. Ash, did you notice there was a train strike in Germany?
Yeah, I noticed it. It was affecting me greatly over here. I didn't even hear about it.
Your favorite topic at the moment, Ash, is coming up. People are surprised that Lufthansa Group continue with a big order, including a mix of aircraft from Boeing as well. So they've placed an order for 80 aircraft, quite a bit of a mix there, but including ones from Boeing and Airbus. So any comment on that story, Ash?
I mean, I just want to clarify that it's not all Boeing planes that are an issue, right? I mean, it's specifically the MAX line. So when Lufthansa Group orders 80 aircraft and the 80 aircraft happen to be planes that are not, then I'm happy. But in this case, I see that the plane that they're ordering is the 737-8 MAX. And in that case, I'm going to say that that's not a good deal. So,
but what was interesting to me, you said this about, you know, it's not all Boeing planes, but yet the media is playing this very differently. I see quite a lot of posts. I mean, that poor, I think you mentioned to me in a chat, the poor incident where the engine caught on fire. It happens to be a Boeing plane, but it actually has very little to do with the fact that it's Boeing, right? Because it's the engine manufacturing that should be named in that story, isn't it, sir?
That's very true.
Any comments there, Anne?
Well, I saw this morning that Lufthansa has actually taken some newly delivered planes straight into storage because there are problems with configuration of the planes.
Interesting. And then relating to the ongoing Boeing issue, I saw in a post by Luke de Wilde that Ryanair has doubled the number of its own engineers that oversees Boeing's production lines. I wasn't aware that airlines had that. So Ryanair had 6 people at Boeing who was overseeing the production line. They've now doubled that to 12. Were you aware of this, Ash, that airlines could have people at the production line?
Yeah, I was aware of it. But a lot of times they're very much, you know, it's like the FAA, right? I mean, here in the US, we have the FAA. Their job service to maintain quality, but then they get too chummy with the manufacturer. And next thing you know, you're not looking and you're not caring as much because you are best friends and you're having drinks at the bar on Fridays. And so these things are all part of the problem. I don't know if adding in doubling from 6 to 12 is really going to help the situation. It's a nice gesture, but I don't think that it's going to really make any improvements to the issues that we're talking about.
I think it's a bit of an awkward job, that one, Ash. You can have to walk around and check things, but it must be a very strange job, that is, I imagine. I wasn't aware they could do that. Any thoughts on that one, Anne?
No, I think it's a very good idea for Ryanair to do that. It's certainly from the public perception. I think it's good.
I'm sure Ryanair is going to be sending the bill to Boeing and saying, pay these people.
Most probably, yes.
Yeah. Big story of the week last week out of your part of the world, Ash, was about the news that the JetBlue Spirit Airlines merger was halted by a federal judge. I see they are obviously appealing that. Not good news for Spirit. I also saw that their debt has now exceeded $1 billion. They're $1.1 billion. So not great for that story at all. And it has further and wider implications. I saw a few posts. But Ash, what are your thoughts on that?
This is not going to end well because I think that both JetBlue and Spirit are going to struggle greatly. Part of the reason why they were looking to combine was to really optimize their costs and to make sure that they can become profitable. They have not made money. JetBlue now, of course, has a new CEO as well. So, I mean, they're definitely going to go in a different direction and they're going to become less business and more leisure as they've already started to cut some routes. But as far as Spirit is concerned, Spirit, I think, is going to be in a really, really difficult position until they find some other alternative. One of the big issues that we have now is that this antitrust mindset here in North America is really going to hamper the airlines. I mean, on the other side, we have Alaska and Hawaiian waiting for approval as well. I think airlines are trying to really, really scale and get to the point where they can become profitable. Being small does not help because the costs are just too high and you can't overcome them.
Now, over on our side, related to this, was it this week, last week, when I mentioned this to you, and I thought this was a done deal, but it looks like equally the Lufthansa ITA purchase is not finalized, right? By any stretch, there's still potential opposition to that. I wasn't aware. I thought there was a done deal.
Same here. I thought it was a done deal. I was really surprised. And I'm also very saddened by the Spirit JetBlue because the US is dominated by four carriers. They own 80% of the market. And I think the only way for serious competition is for other airlines to merge. And instead, we would be looking at a scenario where they could potentially die, strengthen those big four even more. But yeah, coming back to Lufthansa, I was really surprised. But then again, actually nothing about ITA surprises me anymore. Sorry for saying that, but don't you find that?
In agreement. So yes, nothing there is a surprise. I just thought it was done. I thought it was all finished. But apparently the European Commission, I apologize for the audience for jumping around stories, but they do relate. This is about, airline mergers just not getting done.
Yeah.
Lufthansa ITA thing is not finished. And there's some kickback there from the European Commission.
I think Anne makes a really good point about, what's worse than not having a merger is that the airline dies, right?
Yeah.
I think that has a greater impact to fares. So if you really care about fares going up, I mean, let's face it, if you look at all the things like inflation and what have you, the airline airfares are not expensive at all. We pay more for our iPhone than we do for a flight between London and Spain. So with all of that in your mind, I mean, you have to kind of say, is it unfair that an airline wants to make money? Is it unfair that the airline actually wants to be profitable? I don't think it's unfair. And if that means that you gobble up your competition, I don't see any harm in that. And there'll always be a birth of a new airline. So it's not ever a scenario where no one can start an airline. I mean, people start airlines in the worst of times. They'll definitely do it in the best of times when airlines are successful.
I missed my opportunity to say, yes, there will always be a birth of a new airline unless it's Global Airlines, which fair enough.
And then I mean, when it comes to ITA, I mean, is this really fair on the Italian taxpayers? Come on, there's got to be an end at some point of how much money you can fork out to keep these airlines alive.
I started my background music there because I wanted to take a moment to just change gears and just thank all of you for giving us your precious time on a Monday to join us. We really appreciate it. It's fantastic to see the room this full. As I mentioned, it's really good to see some familiar faces and also some new faces. Our purpose here with Linking the Travel Industry is to make sure that you are connected to as many of your industry peers as possible. So if you haven't done it already, please go through the list of the great participants in the room there and make sure you connect to as many of them as possible. We also pick one person each week to be our link of the week. And this week, and please forgive me if I don't pronounce your name correctly, but Gulnash Dabara, you are in our list there. Very interesting profile you've got there. It looks like a fantastic connection to be. Thank you for giving us your time, and well done for being our connection of the week. We encourage all of the others to make sure they connect to you, and we hope you don't mind and will accept their connection request. But seriously, folks, thank you for giving us your time. We really appreciate you for joining us here on Linking the Travel Industry. We're not done. We've got a few more stories to cover. Another story that caught my eye last week was the news that Japan Airlines appointed a former cabin attendant as their president. And it was only last week that we talked about the fact that the U.S. will get a new CEO at the helm for a major airline. First time, Joanna Geraghty was appointed as the chief executive at JetBlue. And it was also interesting for me to note that women hold less than 15% of management positions in Japan. So this is big news. And a really nice story to read as well. And I'm sure you enjoyed that story. What are your thoughts on it?
Of course, it made my week. Made me really, really happy. It's great to see more females in general in executive positions and in the. But of course, for Japan, it's a very, very extraordinary news. So great stuff.
Yeah, I love the fact that she's obviously from the ground roots up and very experienced in many things. And she even said in her appointment that she's keenly going to keep focusing on airline safety as a key priority for her because she knows how important that is. So those were the stories on my list. And any extra stories from your side?
I've been following this this whole saga, but actually that is a story for Ash, and that is about the American Airlines new amenity kit. Oh my word. I mean, I'm fascinated about that you can have that many complaints. I know they've now moved to an amenity kit that is going to be more sustainable. So it is like a box. And oh, there's been like tons of complaints about this and how they've moved. Because I mean, they're saying that the majority of us will never reuse that little bag that we get, which actually made me think that wouldn't it be better if you actually had, more like a convenient little bag for it that you can exchange it for something that is definitely more reusable. But it's been a huge discussion about this amenity kit.
Yeah, actually, I love my airline bag and I use them for everything. I use them to put my power plugs in. I mean, it has a long, long shelf life.
When you said people don't use it, I have a lot of uses for them.
Yes, so do I actually. Yes, I do. But, they say that 70% of us never reuse.
Sure.
I think they just made that number up. I'd like to get into the weeds of that study. I don't know anybody who throws them out. Maybe I'm just in the 30% or something.
Yeah, but I had no idea it could become that emotional. It's very interesting too.
Oh, it's definitely a touchy point for sure.
Yes. Ooh, it is. Yes. Yeah.
Any other stories from your side, Anne?
Yes, very quickly. Of course, I've been following the discussions about Rabbit. It's very interesting, the sort of pocket companion that's sort of going to break away from our usage of apps. And this, of course, has been talked about with all the techies all week. And of course, it's all about the new ways to search. But literally what it is that I can have my assistant, you can say, booking for me. And this is like far superior to Alexa. So more on that story. I think we need to dig into that a bit more
and
extensively.
I'm so delighted that you brought that story up, because guess what I've been doing all weekend is just go down the rabbit hole, which is so good.
Oh, rabbit hole for rabbits, yes.
We need to host a discussion on this device. I've actually ordered one. I see there's some people in the audience who's going to ask me questions about it. So this is phenomenal. I love the whole story behind it. I love how they pitch it, and it's teenagers designing this thing. It is just, it's got so many check boxes.
And of course, I wrote a post on content fragmentation, and that sort of was beautiful timing. Oh. Perfect timing for Rabbit, right?
So many things, yes. Again, thank you for a fantastic show. Everybody who joined us today, really appreciate you giving us your time on a Monday. We do this weekly. Thank you so much. And over to you, Anne.
Thank you, everyone. And a special shout out to Gunas. Thank you, everybody.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining today's call. We appreciate this. And we host this LinkedIn audio call every week on Monday. It's all about linking the travel industry. Please do share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoy today's session, others that you know will as well. And if you cannot make it because of time zone or availability, we make the session available as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.